will me bless me come. Will me bless because we came.
Father, we are grateful this morning as we would come together. We appreciate you for your love and your goodness upon our hearts. And Lord, despite all the challenges that we go through with the technical and the devices and the electricity, Lord, and the water shortages in certain parts of our country, but you have always kept your word. You watched over your children. You've provided for us. You've given us good rest, families, oh God. You've given us a ministry that came through a vindicated prophet. You enlighten our pathway through the apostolic ministry, Father. And even as we would come together this morning, we are grateful, O God, for one more time that we could come into your house to examine ourselves. Under, Lord, under the microscope of your precious word, knowing that we are called, O God, in this hour that we would reflect your word. And dear God, down through the ages, it was your desire, your purpose, that you want to, Lord, have a people that will worship you. You'd have a people, O God, that could honor you and magnify your name. Grateful, O God, for the commitment of the technical team and the music department, the Sunday school and the youth and the government of our church. Thank you for the believers that supported the work with the tithes and offerings and mission funds. We're grateful, O God, for the body, the ministry that you placed in the body of God, the gifts that you've placed, O God, the families that you've given. Lord, we pray even as we would continue today, may we continuously become a lighthouse. That somebody, O God, will come to know this truth, that we will reflect this word. We remember the many that are unwell in the bodies, O God, and the many that are celebrating their birthdays. Grateful, O God, for our dear Sister Peggy. Lord, it's a birthday today. Thank you, O God, for the way she stands behind our elder. Thank you for the sacrifice she makes. Lord, the humility that she has, and the purpose-driven life that she lives. We ask you to bless her family as well. And Lord, all those who are celebrating the birthdays this week, we ask of you, Lord, to be gracious to bless them now. Undertake for each one of us, Lord, and be our portion and our guide. And those that are celebrating even the anniversaries, remember those that are in hospitals and those that are unwell in the bodies. Be gracious to bless them as well now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you, brothers and sisters. You may take your seats this morning. I was wondering what happened. We had a power that just went off just now. So we're just trying to get ourselves fixed up. I think there were the notices. Is there anything that I think it's Sister Piggy's birthday today. Good to see you, Sister Piggy. I wonder what the secret is, Sister Jane. You all are looking so much younger. I don't know what you all are eating, but told Brother Larry, whilst we are aging, the ladies are getting younger, you know. It's good to know that we can look after ourselves. You know, I say to people all the time is that you've got to learn to fight for your health whilst it is good. Because one day you'll be fighting to keep your good health. And lots of times we don't realize how important our health is. So people just kind of just take it for granted and eat whatever you want. And then as you get older, you begin to realize that you are now having problems with your health. Sometimes you do that because of your work. You do that because of your work, and you don't rest. You know, you must rest your body. You must rest yourself. You must drink good water. One of the things that you need to also start staying away from is milk. You might say, but I only have it in my coffee or my tea. Well, you're creating the environment to start picking up more flus and colds and mucuses. You are going to give room to things like growths and cancers in your body because milk produces mucus. And sometimes even when you have children, you've got babies, you want to give them milk. So what happens is that you eventually find that your child becomes Flemish. So if you can, even your children, if you can discourage milk, you say, but I'm using box milk. That's even worse, because that comes with a whole lot of preservatives. You know, there's a lot on the market like almond milk, but you've got to check with your doctor. But you must be careful of oat milk, because oat milk will cause you to have bleedings in your stomach linings, because there is something in that milk, the oat milk, that causes, so you try and avoid those things. Because the milk that you are having, the pasteurized milk, all the ingredients are taken away. Don't even think of using Cremora, because Cremora is a chemical that your body can't process. It's not, they might tell you they're putting milk powder and whatever. It's not, your the memory of your body can't pick up what to do with it. So, if you can avoid milk, even to have black coffee or black tea, you see, but it's, wow. Well, you rather do that because you're fighting to keep good health. You know, so you don't really start having problems later on in life. You know, when you come to around 50, 55, 60, you're going to find your health begins to change, and it's too late to start reversing. Because, so those of you that have children, you need to start climatizing your children from now. There's a lot of things that's coming on the market. You're going to see that they are now generating even steaks and meat that is not even meat. They are using cells to process all this in laboratories. So it's going to get very difficult in the months to come, in the years to come, for us to start finding food. You see, but why? It's because it's a type of the word. You see, the real word is with the bride, which is the seventh seal, the seventh thunder message, the open book. There's a famine for that. So the bride that has that, she's going to come to have an access to the mind of God, and spiritually she's going to get strong. So in the natural now, you're going to find food is going to start taking a nosedive. In a sense, there's going to be a scarcity, and man's going to become creative trying to provide. You know, like sometimes, no names mentioned, but some people know who I'm talking about. You go and do a whole lot of exercises and everywhere, and then you're going to have what you call KFC, and you're going to have McDonald's. You know, sometimes you're forced to do that. I mean, we would go out and eat as well, but if you regularly start eating those things, it's going to adjust your DNA in your body. So it's going to start altering your cells. And you say, but what difference? I'm young, let me enjoy myself. Yes, but your children that you're going to bring up in this world is going to suffer. Your children, Brother Irwin, help me out. I'm trying to find a recorder on my phone so that I can keep an audio recording. So you're wondering why I'm fiddling. Because we're having problems with sound. So I thought if I keep my phone here and... So Brother Irwin, yeah, you can just find it and put it on. So what happens is that you climatize your body by eating all these things. And it doesn't show up. But then you start having children. Your children now either have mental complexities. So, you know, they have become mental retards. They have children that are mongoloids. You have children that have genetic problems. It's because the mother and father is not taking care of themselves. You know, So lots of times people get kind of offended, but you know, I want to enjoy life. Yeah, you can enjoy yourself, but don't do it at the expense of your legacy. Don't do it at the expense of the children that God has trained you to have or acclimatized you to have in the years to come, that you sit back and say, but you know, I don't know why my children are like this, why they're so sickly. It's not because somebody in the legacy did not take care of themselves. Like, I'm grateful. My father was a, those of you know my father, he was a disciplinarian. You know, in lots of things, rest, meditation, exercise. He taught me how to even handle money. He taught me how to even organize things. He was very, very methodical. And I learned a lot from my dad. I'm grateful for that. You know, he wasn't one for all these foods and so forth, fast foods and whatever it is. And remember that your children trust you. They trust you for who you are. And when you buy food, you got to learn. Lots of times people say, but you know, things are expensive, so we rather buy cheap food. You buy cheap food, you have a quick death. Because all these processed foods that you're getting, you call it bologna and poloni and Russian sausages and so forth, they put a whole lot of things in your in those things just to make it taste. And then they have things like MSG. MSG gives a lot of taste in your body and you feel nice. That's what most of the fast foods have. They basically put these things down so that you can become conditioned to it. In the years to come, you find that your body begins to start showing up. So it's important for sisters to start doing your homework. You know, this amazing thing about the sisters in Namibia. You know, I told you that they have little, but they do so much. Talking to Brother Hine, he says, our people don't have fast foods. And I went there 6 years ago or 7 years ago. I can't remember. I flew out. There was an emergency. I flew out there, some of you remember. And I saw the sisters. And when I went back again with Pastor Tony, that even Pastor Tony even commented to. He says, wow, sisters, you're looking so young. And I asked Brother Hine, what is it? He says, no, because the food they're eating. So you got to take care of yourself. You can't complain that you are sickly and you're doing absolutely nothing. And some of you young men, you don't even exercise. You know, you don't even exercise. You just eat, sleep, and you don't preach at home, so you must be sitting and watching movies and all. Nothing wrong with those things, but if you don't exercise your body and your mind. Like I was telling somebody the other day, is that you'll notice that our children are not in a position to speak like how the older generation speaks. It's because this generation are not reading. They don't read. They watch. And if you keep watching things, if you keep watching movies, and you keep watching all these social media, it kind of affects your thinking capacity. And your memory loss is much more higher. Your memory loss is much more higher. So if you're losing memory cells and you're forgetting very quickly, you need to check your diet. You need to check your diet, you need to check your rest, and you need to check whether you are always under the blue light, which is your devices. You need to see whether or not you exposing yourself to more viewings and less reading. You see, in order to keep your acumen or your thinking, your cognitive senses sharp, you must things work out like word puzzles, and you need to do numbers. You need to do reading. You know, we never, we, like, what you call, in the earlier days, there was no such thing as you save the number on the telephone and you speed dial. You remember, Brother Roy? We used to remember numbers, telephone numbers of people. And that is how your memory became sharp. But now we put them on devices, and now the brain is slowing down. Okay, you may see, but you'll see what, as I'm going to speak about particles and waves and thought process, you're going to realize how much you need to start developing your thinking capacity. And one of the things is to get your children to start reading. And you say, but they don't want to read. Then you read with them. My wife used to always read to my children. I've got books. I spend, if you come to my home, my library is worth a lot of money. I was telling my son yesterday, you know what, I said, when I'm dead and gone, I said, this library must be for our legacy. My children's children, grandchildren, they must read these things so that, you know, they say leaders have a big library and victims have a big screen. You know, you go to people's houses, they've got big screens and you don't find anything. You don't even find the Bible. You don't even find the message books. Nothing. So what are you doing? You're sitting there and you're just watching you. You're not realizing that you are killing yourself. So I pray to the Lord that the Lord will bless you. You know, be mindful of what I said about milk. Okay? Speak to a dietitian. I'm not your doctor. But I was talking to when I was in hospital, you know, I think last year when I had food poisoning, they did a test, and I said to them, I asked about milk. I said, does milk cause cancer? He says, well, scientifically, it hasn't been proven. You see, this is the problem. Is that you're going to find out that everything, I would say 90% that you are reading on the internet is misinformation to mislead you so that the human species become destroyed, because that's how it is. And so lots of time when you say somebody something, that Brother Branham is a prophet, Brother Larry, they want to go to Google and check whether Brother Branham is a prophet. And a whole lot of things come up. Oh, Brother Branham is not a prophet. And he said this, he died in act. So people take that. Misinformation is what the internet is all about. Social media, Twitter, YouTube are good communications for marketing. I always say that. For marketing your business, marketing your products, or getting things out there very quickly, it can be done. But if you really want to get guidance as a believer, then you say, but where do I find it? It's the message and the apostolic ministry. That's where you find it. Everything else out there is a perversion of what God wants you to know. Everything. You know, I was talking to Pastor Tony the other day, and he's telling me, he says, you know how people are 80, 90 years of age. And I said, you know what? They need to give us a talk on longevity. You know what's longevity? Sister Jane is 80 plus. Okay? You'll never see she's 80 plus. Okay, some of us are 30 and they look like 80 years. I mean it because you don't even exercise. You run out of breath. If you walk from the car park into the church back door, you're out of breath. Okay? And he says, no. He says, our people have learned to practice what the message is saying. They drink good water. They have good food. Now, good food does not mean expensive food. Lots of time people get it wrong. You know, you have meat that are free range. You have eggs that are free range. Okay, no antibiotics in it. No preservatives. No MSG. Do they eat? Do they go out in restaurants? Yeah, they eat. But I think they're not extremist. They don't have sugar. Sugar and milk are two dangerous things. People say, but you know, Brother Louis, you just don't understand. I must have sugar. Yeah. I told you, you got to learn to fight for your health now, or else you'll be fighting for your health later. Fight to keep your health. It's your greatest investment. Fight to keep your health now. You know, like for me, I try not to hear any evil. I try not to speak any evil. If I want to tell you, I tell you. That's me. I got no time to discuss Brother Norman to Brother Larry without them knowing. If I want to tell Brother Norman something, I will tell him. So, speak no evil about anybody, hear no evil, you know, and just speak the good things about people. You hear anything bad, just don't talk about it. When it comes to the work of God, different. We, the minister's duty bound to say what's right and what's wrong and straighten things up. But about people, you know, many times in life, I've been drawn into things. Like even recently, this whole week was terrible for me. Okay? I've been drawn into try and take sides with people. I don't take sides with anybody. I stand just with the word. You say, but why? That's my duty. I'm because if I start taking sides with anybody, I don't even know who's lying and who's not lying. And this is the problem that most of you are having in your families. You want to side with somebody because you don't even know the facts. You don't know the facts. You say, but I don't know what you mean, Brother Louis. You see, when the events are taking place, you're not there. You're not privy to these things. And then when it falls apart, then people phone you. And now you want to become a fixer. Then you want to phone. You want to get involved and say, look, what can I do? You know, is anything I can do? And then you get half sorry. Then you get upset with the wrong person. Only to find out that it's not so. So this particular individual called me after so many years and wanted me to take sides. I didn't. I just listened. And I want my deacons and elders to remember this, is that when people call you, your job is not to get involved, to try and fix things up. Because they don't tell you everything. They only give you one side of the story. And there's something that the deacon must remember, is that when people come to you and complain, they come and complain in this church, they say, look, I've got this problem with Brother so-and-so, whatever it is. You make sure that the entire deacon board knows about it, so that they don't give a picture. They don't go to the other deacon and give a different story. But if it's a personal issue, it's different. Because sometimes people have the tendency of going to one deacon giving a story, going to the other deacon giving a story. But I think here, Brother Larry, you'll have areas here. So they only can go to that. That's very good. Okay? So you only go to your area leader, they deal with the problems. Okay? But don't get involved. If you want to have health, don't trouble trouble until trouble troubles you. Whether it's your son or your daughter, your grandchildren, or even your dogs, don't get involved. Just walk away. If it upsets you, just walk away. Don't try and correct your son because he's married and you want to correct him and correct his wife. It's none of your business. They are married. Don't get involved with grandchildren. You're a grandparent, don't get involved and try to tell your son or your daughter how to raise your children up. Or your grandchildren. Because you had your time. You had your children, you had your fair share. Let your son, let your daughter raise up the children the way they deem it fit. Be Because all these things are going to add to your health. Oh, I'm so worried. You know, I don't know what she's eating. Oh, goodness sake. I don't know how he's treating her. Your blood pressure and your sugar will go up. You need to enjoy your life. You enjoy your life because you don't have a lot of time on this earth as parents and grandparents. I'm saying all this, brothers and sisters, is because human species like to be like the United Nations. They want everybody to think good about them. No, you can't please everybody. I've learned that in life. You can't please everybody. You try and please Brother A, Brother B gets offended. You try and please Brother B, then Sister Z gets offended. All you need to do is to please the Lord. Your first obligation is to please the Lord. And when you do that, you find that you'll be, you know, when a man's ways pleases the Lord, you find that the Lord will give him rest from his enemies as well. Because you need to please the Lord first. So I pray the Lord will bless you. I felt it, you know, this week that I was going through, I said, wow. If I'm going through these things, then you must be, you also need to be aware. Don't try. If somebody says, well, Brother Louis, please, I need your help. Can you get brothers or my family and so and so together and please talk to them? Say, look, brother, you know what? I'd rather just keep good fences and good neighbors. I don't want to get involved. Say, but why? No, well, my pastor teaches us that. We just need to be neutral. We need to please the Lord. You know, and you say, but why? How do I respond? Well, you just respond, look, sister and brother, I think you should just bring it before the Lord and pray. And leave it to the Lord. That's what you should be telling the people. Don't try to investigate. Because if you want to investigate and you want to try and sort out people's problems, tell me, I'll put you on the deacon board. Okay? Then you'll have exposure to lots of problems after that. And then you'll realize, hey, I'd rather not get involved. So God bless you. Pray for us. Just remember Brother Lambert as well in prayer. Brother Lambert, we did send a note out. And he wasn't too well. And so the doctors are still investigating what to do. All right, so let's go to our before the beginning is what we are doing. As we take our scripture reading this morning. Okay. We've got baptism service today as well. Who is the image of the invisible, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created, and they and that are in heaven, and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they are thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, or all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. May the Lord bless the reading of his precious words. You may take your seats. So when you're reading the scripture, who is the image of the invisible God? So when you look at the word image, you need to understand that you have this idea that the image that you have here and your spiritual man, the first thing that you are thinking about is, well, if he's tall, if he's big size, that is how is the image is. Now, the Bible says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creation? But I want you to understand this, is that your body, your natural body, is made up of 16 elements. And these 16 elements, brothers and sisters, and when you look at your body composition, is the major part of it is water. So lots of times we think that when the Bible speaks of your spiritual image, we have this idea that as our physical image is this, so will our spiritual image be this as well. It's not so. It is not so. Because your image, that your invisible image that you have, or the image that the Bible is speaking of, is just a spoonful of dust. So we will do more work with this scripture in the weeks to come. But to tell you that that word image there can be so misleading that you think that when you look at the mirror, you see the image, the reflection on the mirror, and it seems to be the same size and same volume and same quantity, weight and size and whatever it is. But in the spiritual world, it's not so. Okay? In the spiritual world, it is not so. We will look at words that we're going to speak about, atoms and particles. Okay? That is tied to the word image. Because remember that your body is made up of atoms, molecules and particles and subatomic particles and so forth. Makes up your body. And we often think, well, if this is my image, then on that side, that's exactly how it is. No. There's a lot of depth in that scripture, but that's not my point today. For by Him, okay, were all things created. So, Paul is speaking about the image, which is the firstborn. Okay? And that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they are thrones or dominions and principalities or powers, all things were created by Him. Now, Paul is writing that, and then there's a comma. And the Bible says, and for Him. And there is a colon. It seems as though that the scripture is continuous, is saying that the firstborn made all things, and these things that were made for Him. All right? And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Immediately, this is where most people in the message and even outside the message say, well, Jesus is the creator. Because this is what Paul is saying, that Jesus created all things. And before him, there was nothing, because he says He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. So scriptures can, as I said to you last week, can give you an impression, and it's done in a way to mislead. And it's done in such a way so to confuse those. So you say, but why? Because remember that Colossians 1:15 is a proverbial scripture. You say, but I don't understand it. It's a scripture that hides the reality that God had in His mind. So when you're reading it, you're thinking that the image is the creator. You're thinking that the image is the one that needed these things created. And he is before all things. That means He is the Alpha. It's all no, because there is a mystery. That two dots there, that comma, is referring to the Father. And for Him, see, all things were created by Him and for Him. Who is that for Him? That's not the Son. That's the Father. Because remember that this being had a purpose. He was a purpose-driven being who said, who had a desire that he wants to be God. Who had a desire, who wants to be a savior, to be a father, to become a miracle worker. So he is before all things. He is the Alpha. That's a proverbial scripture. It's written in a mysterious way. Only the elected will understand. This is not speak. You see, but Brother Louis, I think you got it all wrong. Well then, you got to tell me why Brother Branham says, and my Bible says, that the Son was with the Father just before the foundation of the world, and the Son was not there in the absolute eternity. Now, we term it absolute eternity. It's a language under the apostolic vocabulary because we want to differentiate between the eighth and the seventh. Are you with me? All right. So remember this. The messenger tells us that before there can be a creation, there has to be a creator to create that creation. And Jesus can't, the Son of God can't create. There's only one creator, which is God. So that scripture is a proverbial scripture which has a supernatural element in it, that if you read that scripture, it will render a completely different meaning, saying to you that the Son is Alpha. And that's where a lot of preachers use that to support that work, you know, to support that Jesus was there before the foundation of the world. Are we all good? All right, let's go on now. So let's try and recap where we are. We've got a lot of work to do. I'm watching the clock as well. Okay, so the eighth dimension, we know that it is absolute eternity. Okay? And we know that this field, the eighth dimension field, only comes into existence because of the being. There was no eighth dimension before the being. Now, you can't even say that this being was in space. Because our mind of space, we think it's empty. No. So this being, you may say, but who is this being? It's a supernatural being. He is not a spirit being. So what do you mean he's not a spirit being? Well, because he lowers himself, as we taught last week, from that being to spirit. You can't come from spirit to spirit, because the word condescend, which we spoke about, means to lower yourself. So this being is eternal, okay, because of the substance that he is. And he exists and he has streams of traits and qualities which presents with him with a nature. But we don't know how this nature is put together. We don't really know some things. Maybe as we study, it might broker to us, but we don't know. Because remember that this being was out there, and in this being, you'd find there were great fountains of, the prophet said, great fountains of rainbow. There was this great presence of these great fountains, he says. It speaks of rainbows of lights. It speaks of perfect spirits, seven perfect spirits. It speaks of the perfect spirit of love. He says great lights went out, or great rays of spirit. Okay? Now, that's what was out there. Now, you say, but how do we know this? A prophetic gift. This prophet of God was lifted into that absolute eternity to catch what was in the mind of this great God. So, when this being was out there, he says God. Now, he was not even God at that time. In his infinite mind, looking down to the streams of time. Now, that word streams of time, we can spend a month on it. Because streams of time, he's telling you of the seventh dimension. We're not yet in time, because the eighth dimension you'll see in some of the slides is timeless. There's no time there. But the streams of time is speaking of infinite time that comes in the seventh dimension. So he looks in the streams of time and he saw what would take place and how he would have to create and drop down into time of space to pull out what he really was. So he was out there alone. He was planning. He was looking down the streams of time. Now, many a times we say, but Brother Louis, you know, I just thought that there is just one set of time. Like you take the word in the beginning. Okay? Let's look at the word. We're going to add a little bit to what we know. I didn't put this on today. Is it on? I think I can. It's okay. It's okay. Just try and switch the slides for me. All right. So, like when we look at the word in the beginning, we just think, you know, in the beginning, you know. But what we don't need to understand that that word in the beginning has a much more depth. So, in the beginning, what do you know about in the beginning? We're going to add to this word in the beginning. Okay? I'm just watching my slide so I can keep it a bit straight. Okay. So we know in the beginning was referring to Genesis 1:1. That's the beginning you know of. All right? But then I taught you about the sun in Proverbs 8, I think it's 24. Right? He was set up. The sun set up. Then I spoke to you about John 1:1. John 1:1 was the word. Right? Okay. He said, but, okay, so what are the beginnings you know of? That's okay, leave that on. You know why? Because the slides is a problem. Leave it on. I think you can read it. I think on the stream is okay too. So where is another beginning? In the beginning is when sin came in. It's another beginning of time. So what do you mean? Before, in the beginning, you'd find in when God, Genesis 1:2, okay, is a recreation. It's a recreation earth. This beginning here, we know it was the angelic world. Here he's creating. He's creating again. Recreating rather, not creating. He's recreating. He's moving out the mist and so forth. And he's bringing man here. Man is coming in here. But this man here, he had no sin. So his beginning was, he had fellowship with God. Now, when sin comes in, this is now another beginning. Okay? This is another beginning. This beginning here is where the earth is cursed. Okay? In this beginning here, there was no thorns and thistles. Here, In this beginning, now you have the earth cursed. Okay? You have the patriarch order changed. The patriarch order violated. Okay? Here, you see, what is the patriarch order? You find when you read before the fall, okay, you find that she was a help, she was, they had one name. Here you'd find now, under this part here now, she becomes the bearer of life. You find before the fall, life came through Adam. Here, life came to the woman. So this is a new beginning. So, when you look at the word in the beginning, you're thinking, wow, it's just one thing. And there's another beginning that you can talk about. This is where about? In the book of Revelation, where the Bible speaks of a new heaven and a new earth. That's another beginning. We don't know what's going to take place there. Do you know? That is locked in the mind of God. That's locked in the mind of God. So when you're reading your scriptures and you're looking now, you're looking to the streams of time, you're realizing now, brothers and sisters, that this prophet is making macro statements. And macro statements is where you would find that when he's designing when God is doing something and this prophet is seeing something, he's just making a statement. Now, Pastor Tony himself does not even realize something, and I never told him this. He's also making macro statements, and that's why an apostolic ministry is more aligned to the fivefold. So the fivefold catches macro statements and breaks it down to the congregation now. You see, but I don't... Go and listen to him carefully. He's making macro. He doesn't even know he's making macro. You see, but why would he do that? That gift has to align himself exactly to a prophetic and to the Bible. Can't be different. So, Brother Louis, how would we know if Brother Brown is speaking macro and the apostolic is macro and possibly pastoral is macro some certain places? It's your fathers, husbands, elders, deacons. You take and break to the people. And the mothers break to the children. That's how it works. Because... You see, but justify yourself, okay? Why don't we all close our services and stream via Eagle Faith? You don't need a pastor. You don't need Brother Norman, teacher. Everybody stream? No, because right there, even that ministry has got supernatural elements in it. You see, but why would he do that? That's how God does it, because God does not go against His Word. He doesn't go against His Word. And every gift is unique. You listen to brothers across this world in this body of God. We've got over 23 churches, by the way. 23 churches. Hopefully by next year, God willing, when we're going to another part of the world, we'd have about 25 churches under this ministry. But they're all saying the same thing. But every gift is unique. Every gift is unique, designed to bring this bride to maturity. Okay, let's go. We are late. I'm going to get into trouble with time. These themes and traits of the nature, actually, when we come down here in time, can be summarized with one thing, which is agape. I'll show you slides on that. Those rainbow colors and so forth will come down and come up into one, the agape. Okay? And the mind that he is, there is. So remember that the mind that this being has, there is no mind that like that. There is no mind like that. Because remember that I showed you the picture, and we'll go through those pictures just now. There is no mind that is like this mind. It's the only mind that is omniscient. Only mind that knows everything. Alright? Only mind. And also remember that the mind of this being that comes from the eighth. Okay, if I can maybe just take my slides off and show you something so that we save on time. The mind of this being is, you see, who made this mind? He is self-existing. I can't answer you that. But that mind has got concepts and thoughts. It's got plans. It's got a purpose. It's got a desire. So this being has got a purpose. This being has got that desire, like thirst. You see, everything that you feel for, this being had to have. If you feel thirsty, he had a thirst. Not a thirst of water, but he had a thirst for children. He had a thirst for worship. See, you have ambitions. This being had ambitions to become God. To become creator. To become Jehovah Jireh. El Shaddai. Alright? And so, we find that all the qualities and the traits are all lying in this being. And in this dimension, you're going to find that he doesn't give account to anybody. There's no need for him to account to anybody. Okay, let's move on now. Alright? He has a nature, but he has no soul. This being has got a nature, he's got no soul. Because if he has a soul, his name must be recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. He must have a beginning. So this is the highest form of life on earth, right? So remember that he is the highest form. But on earth, the highest form, which is mankind, have got souls. And if you have a soul, no matter who you are, you have a beginning. You have a beginning. So he's got no beginning. He's got no end, no father, no mother, no beginning of days, no end of life. So every being, every human species, outside this being, now, we use the word energy. Now you say, but why energy? Einstein, which Brother Branham quotes, says energy is equal to mc square, matter. We will go into that. You can't have matter without first going from energy. You know, lots of times we say, oh, I feel so weak. I have got to eat something. Why? Because your energy is low. You know, people say, my sugar is low. I feel so weak. I feel so dehydrated. It's all coming down to energy. And remember this word, energy. Okay, just remember this word, energy. We will go into that. So, in the eighth dimension, he was not Zoe. Because Zoe means seeds of life. Okay? He was not Zoe. He was just energy. No soul, had a mind with all the plans, all the purpose, all the desires. And he had DNA strands there. Different DNA strands. This DNA strands will cause him to have many He can express himself in many forms. He can bring creation that can be an expression of his concept and thinking. Get used to the vocabulary. Okay, concepts and thinking. But before this being could make himself known to his children, he could not do that. He could not do that in the way he was. No, so I want to just go through one of the quotes I have. I had a lot of problems trying to today. My notes was just running all over, so I just want to. Okay, I'm going to go here. The first thing was that God wanted to reveal himself to the people. He couldn't do it as a great Jehovah who covered all space, time, and eternity. All right? He couldn't do that. He couldn't. He's too great to ever be revealed to his people because it'll be too mysterious. How could that great being that never did begin and after you went beyond the cycles of hundreds of billions and trillions of years of light, space, and out on the infinite into eternity and a great creature that was all that and that still is. Brother Norman with the Waco, see if you can pull out for me any information how long it'll take me or anyone to count a billion or a trillion. Okay? Just find some information for me and then whilst I'm preaching, I want to bring that to point. So he could not do that in that absolute eternity because nobody can stand in the presence of this being because of the energy. He could not do that. He could not do that whilst he, the prophet says, who covered all space, time, and eternity. That is the seventh dimension. Remember that in the eighth, there is no space, there's no time, and there's no eternity. You must understand as I'm talking, because you can just go back to all my slides and look at it. Absolute eternity. All right? He could not do that then. He had to do that when he lowers himself. All right? Now, he says that billions and trillions, he couldn't do it because you see, but why? Because he was a great God. He was a great God. Now, I'm going to show you, try and bring this thing out more clear to you. All right? So that you can understand. Now, If this is a diagram that I want to show you, this is called absolute eternity. We're labeling it under the apostolic absolute eternity. It is the eighth dimension. The eighth dimension. I told you there is no time. There's no atoms. There's no space. There's no chemicals there as well. So you say, but why? What are you talking about chemicals? You see, you've got feelings. You've got feelings. Now, I can make you feel so comfortable and so nice, right? And tell you something. You say, oh, if I tell you, oh, brother, you got a lovely suit. You kind of, it releases chemicals unconsciously in your mind that you feel so good. You feel, oh my, you want to, you know, you feel so good. And I can change it just like that. If I say something that you don't like, it's because of the chemicals that's in your body. All right, we'll go into all this later. But where this being was, there was no chemicals. There was no chemicals. And Brother Brown says he could not do that when he was out there in the eighth. I told you, reach future home. He speaks of the eighth day. All right? He couldn't do that because if that being had to come straight from the eighth into our world, it might burn up everything. In a sense, spiritually speaking, because the Bible says that John fell as though he was dead. Daniel had a headache for 21 days. And Brother Brian says, I could not get used to the presence of that angel. Can you imagine if that being came down, that even on Mount Sinai, he says, mark the mountains. He says, I'm coming down. He says, if any animal touches that mountain, they will die. Don't let anybody come near Moses because they'll die as well. Now you say, but why? Because this being always keeps a mystery about himself. Because, you know, he wants to be, so people can look up to him and say, well, that's the being. That's the being, you know, that's God. So he could not do that. His purpose, prophet says, he can't do it there because he will be too mysterious. He needs to lower himself. So he has to leave the eighth and come down into the seventh dimension. Okay, so the seventh dimension, and there's a seventh dimension and there's a fourth dimension. There's a seventh dimension and a fourth dimension. Now when I do, when I show you more about the fourth, the dimension, the fourth dimension is a communication dimension. Alright? It's a communication dimension. You're going to find the fourth dimension that starts off in the seventh will continue come down to the first dimension. So, remember that he has to speak. He has to speak. And he has to bring things into existence. But he can't do that if he was in the eighth. So he has to create dimensions. You say, but why dimensions? Because he does not go back to the eighth. He does not go back to his thoughts. He does not go back to being alone. Okay? Did we find out how long it can take us to count a billion and a trillion? Anybody try to count a million or a billion? You will find that it takes a lot and lots of time. If they find some information, we'll show it up to you just now. So, we know that this is absolute eternity, and this is the seventh dimension. In the seventh dimension now, he has to create a communication channel, which is the fourth dimension. And in the fourth dimension, we're going to learn about waves. We're going to learn about particles. We're going to learn about vibrations. All right, so stay focused. Now the question is, this is the Alpha. The seventh dimension is the, he says, you know what, is the Alpha and the Omega. So who is the Alpha and who is the Omega? We showed to you it was not the sun. How long would it take to count a billion? It will take approximately 31 years and 251 days to count 1 billion. Assuming a counting rate of one number per second, how long does it take to count a trillion? A trillion is 1,000 billions. You would need to be counting for 31.7 thousand years to count $1 trillion, 1 trillion per second, and would take 31,688 years. Now that seems like eternity, isn't it? Doesn't that sound like eternity? Now that's what he's talking about. Now if you have to basically say, well, how long is a billion? How long is a trillion? You know, that's exactly what you're trying to say. 31,000 years. You think any one of us is going to live so long? But even that is time. Even that is time that we are talking about. Because in the eighth, there was no time. In the eighth, there was no time. Now you say, but for you to measure time, you need matter, you need space. Now we'll take that one step at a time so that you can understand a few things. So, in the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. That's the Alpha time. I'm the Alpha. In the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. That's the Alpha. I'm the Alpha. There was nothing before Him. Nothing can claim that they are the Creator. So we're looking at He's the Alpha and He's the Omega. So what is the Omega? What is the Omega? He says, I'm the first and I'm the last. So where do you place the Omega? Now, let's look at this Alpha series. Now, I told you, he says billions and trillions and trillions. Now, I just want you to imagine that every block of that is a billion years or a trillion years. Right? You know, it's when Brother Brown says that he is condescending, it sounds like instantaneous. It's not instantaneous. This being evolves. I use the word evolve. Evolving. And as he's coming down, it's billions and trillions of years. And so, from the time of Genesis 1:1 to the Omega, these are all times. Now, I want you to look at every block from the time He started creation, in the beginning, millions and billions and trillions, and your mind, right, can't handle. So that's why we call it infinite time. It's called infinite time. In a sense that you can't comprehend 31 billion or 31 trillion years or billion years, 1,000 years rather, 31,000 years. Try and work it out. We get tired of even waiting for one day. Do you know how long people attention span is nowadays? Less than 20 minutes. So I'm preaching for 2 hours. You're only absorbing 20 minutes. That is why you need to go back to what I'm saying and analyze what I'm saying. So the Omega is, and I saw a new heaven and new earth. We don't know what the end is going to be like. We don't know. I don't know what the end is going to be like because that part of the book is closed to us. That part of the thought of God that's in the mind of God is closed. Okay? Now, in order to understand this infinite time, in the Hebrew, it's called Aleph Zero. Or they call it Aleph Not. Because, and that's the symbol that they use. So that science can have an idea about time. But yet, you'd find that to you and I, it seems as though it is impossible to count. So science terms it Aleph Zero, or Aleph Not. Are we good? All right, so you can look at that. You can take the chart, study it at home. All right, let me go back now to where I was. I'm just skipping because so that I don't go back and keep writing and so forth, so you would understand. He had to determine what he wants his children to be and how he wants them to manifest, because the part that we live in, the body that we live in, is an animal, but the image part of God is a spirit man. So God had to decide that. So he had to decide what his children would be and what they would look like. All this was in the planning stages before he could come down to the Alpha, before he could come down to the seventh dimension. Are you with me? So he had to decide, you know, when he's going to come down, what form he's going to take, and what the form will be. All those things how he would be in the different aeons of time. That's another word he used, aeons of time. Okay? Because he wants to come to a point where man and God can have fellowship. So that word condescending is not instantaneous. It's billions and trillions and millions of years he was doing that. So his nature that he had in the eighth dimension, he doesn't have to create it. He just merely brings it together. He puts it together. Okay? He doesn't have to form a mind. He just has to bring his mind down. Because his mind existed. All his thoughts existed. Alright? So in the mind of the being, he has the logos. Remember, logos is thoughts and concepts. Okay? Thoughts and concepts. You are a concept or a thought of God. You are logos, but you are logos expressed. Which means, for example, you take an individual that plans out something. He designs a building, he designs a whatever it is, the projector or the instruments. Somebody had a thought of it. Their thought now becomes tangible or manifested. So that becomes their thought. That's their concept. That's their idea. But every thought that he had with him was unexpressed in the eighth dimension. That is why he's thinking, how am I going to come down? What will I clothe myself in? What nature will I have? Okay? And that is why you find that everything was unexpressed. It was still in his mind. Okay? But he's still in that being. We call it spirit because we're saying he's invisible. But he's not spirit. He's an invisible being. He's a supernatural being. So now, in him is a plan that is beginning to conceive. And the first part of the plan was coming into creation, coming into time. So that's his plan. And so what happens? He takes on a name and calls himself the Word. That's basically where John 1:1 comes in. But we will spend time as we're going on. All right? Yes, John 1:1. So remember that in the eighth dimension, there was no theophany. All we had was just a being with his mind, with all the DNAs, and this fountain of spirits. Everything is out in the eighth dimension. There's no theophany there. Because remember that the his word body or his word form only takes place in the seventh. All right? So remember that his body, which I showed to you, that body that he's going to create and so forth, you will read about it, different terminology. It's called the Word, it's called the Logos. Remember that that's not the being. Okay, that's not the being. Because Logos means thought or concept. It's not the being. He gives himself a name. He calls himself the Word. That's in Revelation 19 and 13. Okay? It's called the Word of God. Now, I'm throwing all this in. You will have questions, but we're going to pick it up as we're going on. Okay? Because we're going to go to the 8th and come to the 7th, go to the 4th, go to the 8th, come back. In this period of time, you'll pick up and you're going to learn. If I throw it all one time to you, you're going to lose me. Okay, so the Bible says he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood and his name is called the Word of God. So we are not talking about the Son. The Son did not even come down as yet. We are talking about God, the incarnate God. who comes in to live into a body of light. The sun is not yet there. And this is where, when in the message community, when they are saying that the Father became the Son, it's misplacing and dislocating the scriptures. And that becomes sin. So John 1 and 2 describes him as the Word. So the Word and God is a self-same being. We will home into all these things. You might get awed with all the vocabulary that's coming, information coming, but we'll take them out and we will piecemeal like how we did Godhead many years ago. Alright. So he is that being, we said, is a spirit, is also a father of lights. Remember that is also the Word, right? And so remember that he says, we call him God, and he began to speak the Word to create. He spoke the Word, and in that Word is one, the power to create fields. Okay? The power to create fields. Why? Because he's going to create channels of communication, which is the fourth dimension. Now, you are going to start learning a few things. Right? So you have, oh my goodness, I keep losing my pen. You have thoughts. Okay? Every one of you have thoughts right now. I don't know what your thoughts are. You have thoughts in you. But you see, these thoughts is a carrier. Right? Okay, carriers. Of what? Energy. But that energy can't be transferred unless it is spoken. So when it is spoken, we call it Word. We call it Word. Alright? So, remember that in communication, you hear people speak of vibration. This is the vocabulary that you're going to learn. Vibration. You'll hear things like wave. You're going to hear words like particles. Right? Now, this word that is spoken is actually carrying an energy. It is actually carrying life. That is why you find, he says, life comes to the body. So I want you to step back and look at what I'm saying. Just digest what we are saying. Life comes to the body. So you could not be placed into the body of God unless life came to you. And life had to come to you via somebody that has got life. That when they speak to you about doctrine of Christ, there is a vibration that takes place because it goes out and it does something. It connects with your gene, and we use the word quickened. Quickened. So now there is a growth taking place. There is growth taking place. Alright? So this being has thoughts. This being has got thoughts. And he is going to bring out fields. He's going to bring out a body. But when he begins to start speaking, this being that we are talking about, he is going to say, let there be light. Because he's going to do that. But remember, before the atoms, before there could be this creation coming out, I want you to follow now, this being is going to step into the he's going to step into the seventh dimension. Because now he's going to speak his thoughts. He's going to create a movement. Remember that when we're speaking about vibrations and waves, it's not going this way. Remember, it doesn't go this way. It goes this way. It goes this way. You say, but why? Why does it oscillate? Why does it go this way? Now, you're going to learn that this world is spinning. You hear people say, the earth is moving. The sun is moving. The planets are moving. It's going round and round and round. Because the waves, the particles, everything is going this way. It's got to do with speed. Alright? So, it's not, when you say it's moving, it's not moving this way. Because if it's moving this way, it'll collide. And so forth. But even there, look at into that as so. This being now wants to come, lower himself. He can't do it in this form. It'll be too powerful, too mysterious for you and I. All right, and he has to create a body. I told you, I took the example of the megawatt power station that has to bring. Sorry, Brother Genzel, I heard you put the urn on, and they forgot the water ran out. And it tripped the lights in the building. Okay? Why? Power. Okay? Energy. Coming through. Electrical energy coming through. Right? Affected everything. But somebody had to put a distribution board, substations. Before, from the mega station, it comes on to substations. And from substations, It comes to a point that's outside the property. Okay? They call it a meter box. And then from the meter box now, it comes to a distribution board. And from the distribution board, now we can plug in everything. So this being can't do, it can't be like the megawatts straight into you. It'll burn up everything. All right? That's a concept you must remember. So he's going to design a body. Now, I want you to understand the material that he's going to use is very important. No other material on this earth would be like that. All right? No other material on this earth is going to be like that. Because now remember that he's coming into the seventh dimension. This is the eighth dimension. He's going to come in and he's going to start bring a body. And so the first thing he's going to do is to bring in a field. He creates the Higgs field. He's in the seventh dimension. Okay? And he creates the fourth dimension as well. It's a pathway. It's a channel to communicate of pictures and vibrations and so forth. All right? And that's why we say that's John 1:1. And because that was Genesis 1, 2, and 3. Okay, that was Genesis 1, 2, and 3. Let there be light. We went over this. Let there be light has got three applications. One, the body of light for the being. Two is what? Two is what? Come on. Let there be light. Sorry? The sun. And the third one? Natural sun. Let there be light. This is not only speaking of sunlight. All right. So you have to create fields, and he calls, He calls that the heavenly Higgs fields. Our natural Higgs fields is what gives us our mass. I told you that if for some reason or the other, he does not design it in such a way, everything will fly everywhere. I'll show you a chart just now that I tried to put together so it could be stable. All right? Now, important for you to remember, the body of this being is designed to hold the presence of this being. The body is not the being. The body is not the being. The body becomes a housing or a home for this being. Okay? So, if he did not create the fields, it's like this. You know, you would find that when people put up a building, they put up what you call a wall. They said, what are you trying to get at? See, without those walls, can you imagine now we take off those walls, all right, and we have a roof, no walls, with pillars everywhere. One, we can save on air cons. But two, if there's a wind, the things will just fly off. Okay, so look at that. Look at this like a field, but it's not actually a field. Okay, I'm just trying to bring you an example. So nothing comes in and nothing goes out. So when he creates these fields from the seventh dimension right to the first, he is going to bring up restrictions. He's going to bring up laws how each body is going to function in those fields. I taught you this, is that when you put up a building, they use what you call weight bearing. Now, you know that you can have a slab, if you're living in a double story house, right? Okay, and you say, well, I think I'm going to park my car upstairs. So you put up a ramp and you want to bring your car in. You say, but why would you want to do that, brother? He says, no, because Nafil Arcade got a parking lot. I mean, they're parking there. Why can't I park there? No, you can't. Same concrete, density is the difference. Okay? Density is different. The weight, the resistance levels, it has to be scientifically tested. The thickness of the ions, am I right, Sister Sasha? How it's tied, how it's bent, everything. It's a science behind a load bearing. It can take 1 ton, 2 tons, no tons, half a ton, quarter ton. So you go to Nuffield, people park their cars, they even park a van, but they say, no, no, no. Certain trucks can't go up there. But why? Load bearing. The building will come down. So God designs the fields in that way so that not everyone can get into that seventh dimension or closer to the being, not even angels. Okay? Not even angels. Say, what? Only specific angels will be designed with specific bodies that they can stand the presence of the being, like Michael, like the Son of God. They will, when we go to that, they have a specific design. A type of body. Lord, oh, I am late. I'm going to rush. I'm accused of speeding too quickly when I look at the clock, okay? So we know the heavenly sphere. We know about the radiation channels. We know about the atoms. That we're going to go back to that later on, okay? So we're going to call that the seventh, okay? Out of the material that comes forth, it flushes out the whole field. That is now what we call the seventh, and we call it heavens. So you can have a heavens now field, whereas yeah, is existing and heaven is a field because he exists in this form. When he comes on into this form, he also begins to create the field that he wants to exist in. So as he's coming down, he's going to create fields. All right? Because remember, he can't go and say, oh my goodness, I'm here now, I've got trouble. He has to set the platform first. Remember that before he could bring Adam, what did he do? He set up the garden. It's a lesson to learn that even you as a father, even those of you that are getting married, you set up where you're going to stay. You don't go, oh my goodness, now where are we going to stay? And that's a lot of time, even in marriage, people just don't have a plan. They don't know what they're going to do. But God had a plan. He said, well, when I come down, this is the body. This is how I'm going to design the area. Because that's what it's all about. So he had to create the conditions. Okay? For that being. And every being that he's going to create, every species he's going to create, he's going to create conditions. So if you're not created according to a condition that he had in his thinking, you can't get into that dimension. You may say, "What? I don't understand." Okay, let's look at this. When the rapture takes place, you would find that you would have a glorified body. The elect will have a glorified body. The Son of God has got a glorified body. But the glorified body that you have and the glorified body that the Son has, you might say, but you are glorified. But they are different. His body carries scars that never heals. Your body will not have any scars, but you'll be glorified. Secondly, your glorified body cannot come in anywhere near the presence of the being. It has to come via a conduit, which is the Son of God. You can't say, well, I've got a glorified body. I just want to be in the presence of the being. You can't do that. Because the fields will restrict you. Okay? The conditions that he made will restrict you. And so, we see that even when you go on to the other side, is that there will be people outside the city who will have a body made of a completely different material and will have to live under certain conditions. Because you can be in the city because you have a glorified body, but those that are outside the city will have the body that Adam had. They can only come in the city for a limited period. Not because only because it's full moon, but because of the body. Because of the body. But the bride, she can continuously be in the presence of the being. At that time, he will be God. He'll be incarnated in his Son. And so you can worship God via his temple. And God will still unveil his mind via the temple, which is the Son of God. Make sense? Because your clothing, your atoms, has to be designed for a specific field. It can't be, you can't say, well, can't I just go up to the seventh, just have a, no, you can't. You can't. All right? All right, so let's try and recap. So this being now, got a mind, it's got DNA strands, it's got all his thoughts. So this being now, it's got his thoughts and his concepts. And what he's going to do? It's all these thoughts and his concepts are in his mind. So the Logos is the concepts of God or the mind of God, which is in the mind of the being. Okay, then you have the DNA strands, which he would use to bring up certain nature. The nature of a dove, the nature of a lamb, nature of a priest. He's going to look through time and see how he's going to express himself. Because remember, those DNA strands are seeds, so he will become Zoe in the seventh dimension, capital letter Z, because he's going to be the father of spirits. Father of spirits. All right. So, then also we have a rainbow of lights or a fountain of spirits. And all these fountains of spirits will eventually lead to a stature of a perfect man. Are you with me? Now, I told you that this being wants to become worshipped. But his thoughts that are in his mind is actually going to produce energy. Because that's what this being is all about. This being is energy. Is life. We will break this down as we are moving on. So now what is he going to do? After the period of time, he's going to clothe himself with light. And that light body is going to be called a theophany. A theophany. So it's going to be this being in a body. So now, when he's in that body of light, now he is going to become, brothers and sisters, King Eternal. He now becomes King Eternal. Alright? He is not yet King Mortal, Immortal, because he's not yet identified in anything that is mortal. But he's King Eternal. So therefore, he is the first theophany of all theophanies. Okay, are you with me? You getting that? So therefore, he's King Theophany. He's the king of all bodies. So why? Because he can manipulate the matter and the body that he's going to come in for himself. He can come as an angel. He can come as a whirlwind. He can come as a man. When Abraham saw him, he saw him as a man. Remember, it was a body that didn't have a spirit in it. But yet it ate. You say, but how did the quote, the verse says, a body can't eat. The theophany can't eat. This body is the body of God. So that is why it's not good for us to use the word theophany for us. We must be using word body. We go into our word body when we die. Theophany is actually theo bodies. Theo means God, the bodies of God. Whirlwind, cloud, pillar of fire, angel of the covenant. And that is why he's considered to be King Theophany. He can come in many forms. Alright? So in the eighth dimension we know there is absolute eternity. Okay, so remember that this is the eighth dimension, which is absolute eternity. When he leaves that, eighth dimension disappears. You don't go back there. There's no being there. So now, he's planning to come down into the seventh dimension. That's what he wants to do. He plans to bring him in the seventh dimension. In order for him to do that, he now has to create the fourth dimension. Why? So that he can speak. I'm recapping, summarizing, so it reinforces in you. You can get an idea as we are moving on. Are we good? He creates the Higgs field. So these atoms don't bounce off and fly off and goes into circles. When he creates the Higgs fields, the next thing we find, what does he do? He says, let there be light. And when he does that, an atom splits. An atom splits, and now you have particles. You have particles coming out. Because now he wants to clothe himself. And so what happens? You'd find he now creates a body as light from a piece of these atoms. So these atoms that you're seeing here is coming from the spiritual chart of God. It is not part. I want you to remember this is going to help you as we are progressing. All right? Remember that the body that this being is going to be clothed in is a unique materials, unique particles, okay? And that is why you'd find that from there, from those particles, when that atom split, which science is calling alpha atom, you see, they speak of the Big Bang. They say there was a Big Bang. Partly right, partly wrong. Because they never went to the eighth. They only went to let there be light. That's where they went. But they never went before that to the eighth dimension. Because they can't go there. It has to take a prophet to go there. They know about this explosion. They call it the Big Bang Theory. Okay, so here, you know, I told you the Hebrew word, they call him Jevu. Okay, well, J-V-H-V, Jevu. Okay, we can't even pronounce it. That's not the right way. Okay, but that's the name of God that he kept mysterious. But eventually, this being will be called Jesus, which was kept a secret. Okay, and will be revealed at some stage. So, we have learned is that the Father's name is Jesus. I'm a Govindraj. I took on my Father's name. I've passed those names to my children. They are Govindraj. Okay, when they get married, okay, only one, my daughter, she took on her husband's name. My sons will carry our name of Govindraj along the way. That name will go on and on and on and on. In heaven, everything is called Jesus. That's the mystery. But God hid it. He says, no, I will reveal it under the seven seals, seven thunders. I'll make myself known. But that's what my name is. That man and signs and prophets and preachers have been probing and probing. And that's why they came up with Godhead. And they came up with the oneness doctrine, because God says, I will reveal this only at the end time. Do I make sense? Okay? So remember that this being is not coming from thought. Very important. He is not coming from thought. He was not in anybody's thought. Because you see, if he was in somebody's thought, that means there was someone before him. So he comes from the invisible into the spirit being, into word, and then he gets clothed in flesh. Very, very important. I want you to learn that. This being doesn't start off from a thought. But this being comes from the eighth, invisible, comes from spirit. Then he gets into a word body. The word body, I told you, is that pillar of light. Alright, so he's a spirit, he's an eternal spirit called the Word. He was also called Jesus in the flesh. This is not talking about the Son. This is not talking about the Son. That is why the oneness doctrine is so far. So lots of times people tell me, but why? How come this? I can't explain to you why they're preaching that. I'm only responsible for Kenville. But what I can tell you, it's part of the seventh seal and seven thunders. And that is why you can't find it. If you look for it, there's a supernatural element. Yet when somebody sits down with somebody that knows this doctrine, we can support what we're saying by quotes and by scriptures. Alright? That is why you find that the oneness doctrine, they can only bring quotes and they can't bring scriptures. You say, but why? Because Brother Branham purposefully was used by God to say things to throw off people. To throw off people so that they will not catch how that being came down from the invisible to the spirit to the word body into flesh. They will not catch it. So he does not come from thought to word to flesh. He comes from spirit to word to flesh. All right? So he, remember I told you he has to have a purpose, and his purpose was to become God, to become a father, to become a creator. His first purpose, Paul, is to have a son. He wants to have a family, and he wants to reveal his attributes, what his capabilities are. He wants to reveal that, but he can't do that whilst he's in the eighth dimension. As the Father, remember, he is the architect of the plan of the Logos. Logos' thoughts and concept, is the architect, is the designer. As the Word is the expressor of the Logos, and you can choose many ways to express it. So remember that the body of light holds the thoughts of God, and the thoughts of God are in the mind of the being. Alright? And so through the prophets, through His Son, through His creation, He is the expressor, the architect of the Logos, the expressor of the Logos. So you're going to find that as we're studying the subject, that He is going to express His thoughts via His Son. That is why Brother Branham uses the word exegesis. If the brothers can pull up that quote. Exegesis. Jesus came to thoroughly explain and clarify God. I think that's in the Church Age book. Why? Because the thoughts of God could not be understood as long as it was in the invisible. As long as it was unexpressed. And so He needed to express His thoughts. And so when His thoughts becomes expressed, Jesus becomes the expressor of the Logos. That means, that is what Jesus said, the doctrines I have is not mine. The thoughts I have is not mine. The words I have not mine. It's my Father. I'm just here to express it. Whose heart's characteristic was made. It says the word declare is taken from the Greek word, which means interpret as exegesis, which means to thoroughly explain and to make clear. That is what the living Word Jesus did. He brought God to us, for He was God. You see that quote, for He was God? It is right and it is wrong. So was Jesus God? Yes and no. How was Jesus God? And how was Jesus not God? You know that Brother Branham says, he says that 12-year-old child would know God in him as yet. Talking to the scribes and the Pharisees in the temple. You know there's a quote like that? Okay? So you can go check it out. That means God was not there from birth to Gethsemane. Sorry, birth to Jordan. From Jordan to Gethsemane, He was the incarnate God. But the being was not in Jesus, the Son, from birth to Jordan. Because if the being was with Jesus from birth, this is for the recording, then that means there's a problem that God has a beginning. And God has a soul. But God comes down, the being comes down at Jordan to Gethsemane. That is why He is God and He's not God. But we can go much more deeper. Is God by blood? God by species? There's a whole lot of things to it. But Jesus alone was just the Son of God, was a man. All right? Okay, so it creates the. I'm going quickly over the slides so that because I've been adding, right? So now we also know it's John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word was with God. When He brings that body of light, all right. So now let's go. So this is the. We spoke about this. You should know the slide already. These are the infinite times. This is called the infinite time. And then every block of there, I said, imagine if it's a billion years or trillion years. All right? And that is why you'd find that we don't know what the end is, because that's a new beginning. The Omega. We don't know what's going to happen in the new heaven and new earth. I can't tell you much. It's locked in the mind of God. And that is why science is calling this Aleph Not Zero or Aleph Not. Because why? You and I can't add those numbers up. 137,000 years to count a billion. Not even our great-great-great-grandchildren will be here if the world tarries. But it seems like as though it's for eternity. That's the idea. It seemed like it's for eternity, but it's not eternity. All right. So, when God created the body, the last thing He did, He clothed Himself in light. So, if He clothed Himself in light, He has to exist before He can clothe. We already know. He clothed Himself in light, okay? He clothed the nature of God. He clothed the spirit of God. He clothed the mind of God, which is where the Logos is. So, that clothing, that's the clothing that He has. And that clothing is called a body. That body is called the Word body. It's a theophany. So now this is His clothing. So the clothing that's identified with Him. It's like how your body, when you see me, this is my clothes. Not my suit, my body is my clothing. You can't talk to me outside my clothing, outside my body. Alright? Alright. But I haven't yet brought down the sun. I haven't yet brought down the sun. Because we find that in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 23 to 26, we are reading about the sun. You can go home and study it. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there was no depth, I was brought forth. When there was no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. And while as yet He had not made the earth, nor the fields. Hello? Fields. Fields, where are you getting the word fields? And the highest part of the dust of the world. So when people say, but where are you getting these fields and all these things? Why? Because the prophet says, God gave Himself birth to His Son, which was before there was even an atom or an air to make an atom. I didn't say that, Brother Larry. Brother Branham said that, and God told Brother Branham that God gave birth to a son, to the son, before there was an atom, okay, or air to make an atom. You say, but why did He do that? He first clothed Himself. The being clothed Himself, got a body. There's no atoms thereafter. That atom that you're talking about there is a spiritual atom. But everything that comes after that is in the seventh dimension, made up of different materials and particles. Okay. So what does this being do? Clothes Himself. I told you, he splits the atom. An alpha atom split. And these are all the particles. And you're going to find that from here now, this particle that's floating out here is going to start creating angelic bodies. He's going to start creating the planets, the universes. And you see, your body rotated off the angels, the angelic world. That's what happened. These are the fields. Why did He create these fields? The heavenly fields or the Higgs field. So that bodies that have different material can't enter into the seventh dimension like that. They can't stand the presence. Are we good? So, in this body of light is the being, the mind, all the DNAs, everything is out there. And now you're seeing in the seventh dimension, this atom splits. This atom splits. Now, I want you to soak this in. Do not think it's instantaneous. It's taking millions and billions of years. This creation that's coming into existence, that is why you find science, you say, we found things that are a million years old. But your Bible says it's 6,000. Nah, in the beginning can be billions of years. That's the seventh dimension, brothers and sisters. And this is divine time. And this is eternity. Now, He needs a witness. because he cannot do anything without a witness. So he's going to give birth to his son, and now he's going to bring the body of the son. He's going to bring the body of the son. And that is why, to remember that in this body of light that came of this being, see this being here? It came of this being. Never came of these splinters here, sorry, these atoms here. Never came of this. He's going to use this here to create his worlds. But he's going to take off from here. I'm going to prove that just now. He's going to take off from here. He's going to take the material from this pillar of fire and design the body of the sun. The body of the sun has got no spirit, and he just has a soul. So in Melchizedek, I showed you the quote. I'm going to pull it out for you one of the days. The sun's soul had to be recorded in the book of life, Lamb's book of life. Okay? It has to be recorded. And that's why you find, who is the image of the invisible God? The firstborn of every creation. Remember that God was the first creation. How God created himself a body. He was not created. God doesn't have a beginning. God doesn't have an end. When you read quotes, macro statements, God becomes a creation. He's talking about the body of light, the theophany, which holds the thoughts of God, which is the concept, the logos of God. Okay, so put a note here. A word is a, shouldn't have brought that out here, but anyhow, a word is a carrier of thoughts, and now we come to know that the word is a conduit. It might just be a bit over your head for now, but just try and. So the word is a conduit for God to transfer energy. Just hold that in there, because we will do that. That is why I want you to understand this, is that you must be so careful of what you speak. Do you know that you can create your world by the pictures that you have about you? Oh, I'm so sickly. You create a picture that I'm so sickly. Oh, you know, I don't know why I'm on so much of medications. I'm so fed up. You're creating a picture. And what is happening? You're putting it out into the invisible world. You notice sometimes people say, oh my, is a pain in the neck. Now, your body does not know what you're talking about. All it knows, a pain in the neck. And one of the days you wake up with a pain in the neck. Oh, he's giving me nightmares. You're creating pictures. You're putting out vibrations. And you wonder, why am I having nightmares like this? And you sleep. Wife has to come to you. Hey, what's going on? You're putting out words. Oh, I'm having a terrible day. You're putting out pictures. You're going to learn energy. You're putting out energy. Vibrations going out. Words are going out. Energy is going out. And one of these, I don't know why. You're going to learn to rephrase it. Learn to choose your words. You're going to learn this. You're going to become so conscious of it. If you keep saying people, I'm feeling so sick. You'll get more and more sick. Lots of times, should I? You know, have you noticed that around June, May, June, all these adverts comes up. Are you suffering from blocked nose? Try this. Is your eyes watering? Try this. Keep yourself warm. What are they doing? They are programming you that when you walk into all the chemists, you go into those shops, you go to all the malls, all the cold stuffs are lying in the front. It's programming you, and you say, oh, well, let me see. Calcivita, I must take this for colds, med liments. And next week, what happens? just now you're coughing. Why? Because you took a mental picture of yourself. You think I'm messing around you. I hate to speak of what I studied. I've studied consumer psychology in university. In my final year. And I can tell you what will sell and what not sells. And that is why you'd find that it's been pulled off recently because of the laws. You go into shopping malls, they play music. That music is called sublimation. Sublimation reprograms you to buy. That is why those of you that are watching all the social media and they're seeing that so-and-so is dressing with certain things, buying certain perfumes, and they're walking around, they call themselves influencers, and you following influencers, then you're a fool. They're programming you. They're telling you a lie. You need to understand that the word is a conduit to transfer energy. So the best way is to transfer the energy of God via the ministry. What we are saying to you, take that energy. So every time somebody comes to you, or a picture comes to you, oh, you know what, I don't know why I'm going, you can cancel. You can stop that picture right there. You wake up with a worry. And this thing is affecting you. Keep thinking about this person. They're living rent-free in your mind. Stop it right there. Change what you are thinking to something good. Imagine a good event or a good incident took place. Go back to the word. Look at the promise. Look at the sir. Stop it right there, because it's an energy coming there to make you prisoner. Okay, I read to you this quote. I'm not going to go to that again. All right? Now, let's prove this now. Let's prove that the body of the Son came off God. And the only way to prove that is if we're going to look at Adam. It says, Jesus and God became one. They united. Like in Eden, where Adam and Eve was in the beginning. The same spirit, their names was called Adam. Alright? So in heaven, what you think that would those two bodies will be called? Jesus. Alright? That's why. You see this? You see this being here? This is Jesus in Jesus. See the quote? That's Jesus in Jesus. Okay? So in heaven, there was only one name, Jesus. You say, but how do you know that? This is why I showed to you that when you're looking at Adam, right, you'd find that their names was called Adam. She was not called Eve. She only was called Eve after the beginning. I showed you the beginning of sin. She was called Eve, the mother of all living. Okay, he says the first man in the lower creation was God. The first man, first creation was God himself. I explained that to you. First creation was God himself. He created the body of light. Then out of God came the Logos, which was the Son of God. This here will stumble a lot of people, but I showed you how the Son of God came in and how he's a concept of God. He's an expressor of the thoughts of God. Then out of the Logos, which was the Word, in the beginning was the Word, Word was God, Word was God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. Out of the Logos came forth the man. I told you that everything that we have rotated off, alright, rotated off. But we want to prove that the body of the Son came off that same material of the Father. That's what we want to do before I close. Okay? Last quote, he says, let us make man in our image. Now, this is for the recording. You find lots of people fight us and say, but you know what? I disagree that the Father and the Son was there before the foundation of the world. Then what are you going to do with this quote? He said, let us make man. So then God made man, his first man, and he was a spirit man. He was something on the order of God, or the Son of God, the Logos of God. That was the first man. Okay? And then he goes on to say, let us make man. Who? Father and Son. What are you going to do with this quote here? Let us. Who? Father and Son. So, So those that don't believe that there's a father who gave birth to a son will run into a problem with this court. Because God did not become one like your finger from spirit to flesh the way he's been preached. That's sin. Okay. I'm rushing because I've got to finish something. In the beginning, God made his first man. He made him out of spirit. And the spirit is invisible part of man. So, let's go look at this man now. Alright, so we're going to look at God and Jesus. We want to prove something. Alright, we want to prove something. So, we're going to see Adam is a type of God. Eve is a type of Jesus. Are you with me? So, the prophet of God says that the first man he made was a spirit man. Because God is a spirit. So Adam was, he says he was a spirit. Are you with me? And the spirit is the invisible part of man. And God made man in his own image. So the first man he made was a spirit man. That is why when you look at the sun at the very beginning, it was a spirit. You could not even see him. He was, when I say spirit, I mean he was an invisible being. You could not see Eve. When God made the woman, she was not called Eve at that time. When God made the man and the woman, you could not separate them. Because their name was called Adam. Okay, so the law states that which has that which hath been is now. That which had been is now, and that which is hath been already, and God required that which is past. So that which was will be. That which was will be. And that, so if you want to know what is going to be, you just look what was. I told you about the Alpha and Omega principle. Okay. So that which has already been. For the Father had life to himself, so he had to give life, so he had to give the Son, given to the Son to have life in himself. So God himself is life. And if God himself is life, now he's the only one that could give life to the Son. I want you to ask, to look at this now. Adam, when God brought Adam, where was the woman? Wasn't she inside Adam? So Adam was also a life giver. Because without Adam, you couldn't have the woman. Now I also want you to understand, is that when we're looking at Adam and we want to find about Jesus, God brought Adam, God brought the Son, by the word, he says, let us make man. So, it was a spoken word. It was not, Adam was not brought forth in the spirit world by any particles that God took from the dust. No, he says, let us make man. And so when God brought his Son, it was by the spoken word. From the thought of God, he brought his Son. Okay? So, like Adam, like Jesus, they were given life in themselves. The Father gave life to the Son. Okay? Because from Adam comes the woman. Without Adam, there'll be no woman. You say, but why prove that? Because from God comes Jesus. This is how he throws off that the oneness Godhead. From God comes Jesus. You see, in Adam and Jesus, they had life. But where did it come from? It came from God. So Adam eventually is going to be a father, okay, that was supposed to bring forth children. This is before the fall. Jesus was supposed to bring life by bringing out sons. All right? So Adam and Jesus never came from any person. They came directly from God. You see, you and I, we came off our parents, but not Adam and not Jesus. Are you with me? So when you look at Adam, and when you go into the other side, and when you go to the other side and you see the sun, these two suns would be unique from every other sun. Adam will never have a navel because he was not tied to an umbilical cord. Jesus' body will always be scarred. And those scars will never disappear. They'll be unique from every other son. Will Adam be in a position to talk to the being? No. Only the son will be in direct access to the father. Because Adam is the type of God. All right? So, you must understand that all the thoughts that God had was in the eighth dimension, and He wants to bring it into existence. Are you with me? And that is why when you look at how God condescended from the eighth to the seventh, you are seeing Adam condescending as well. So there's a condescension of man in that Adam is a spirit being, and later Adam gets clothed. Are you with me? Adam gets clothed by God forming from the dust of the earth. That's the next part we will do at some stage. And then Adam comes even lower. Becomes a man that becomes corrupted. So, Adam comes from the thought of God, which is the eighth dimension. He comes into a spirit life. And just like how in the seventh dimension there is a word body, Adam gets a word body. You see, but prove it. Adam never fell in the seventh dimension. In that spirit world, he never fell. But he was clothed. Adam was clothed. Okay? You see, but what? He had a word body. And that is why he could have dominion over all the creation. Alright? So, Adam's body was made from an atom splitting. How did God make the body of Adam? You see those particles I showed you right at the beginning? I said he took a portion, he made a body for himself, which is a purifier body. But when he made the earth, because out of those particles he made the earth, out of that he took dust and he formed, he didn't blow it, he formed man into a body. Are you with me? So, first he clothes him with the word body. Alright? He clothes him with the word body. Because remember, that word body came from the atom splitting. Remember that purifier body? Now he clothes Adam in a word body, which is from those particles that's out there. Alright, later he's going to put him into a body of flesh. Alright. So Adam had to exist first. I told you Adam is a type of God. Adam had to exist first Just like how God had to exist first. Like how God had all His thoughts, all His concepts and ideas, inside Adam was also all His attributes. Adam had all His attributes in him. Alright? Now, let's look a little bit of Eve. Eve was separated from Adam, was separated after Adam is clothed in a body. God clothed Himself first, and then He clothed His son. So where did the body of the woman come from? It came from Adam. Where did the body of the son come from? If Adam is a type of God, came from the body that God made for Himself. Are you with me? But you see, a part of the woman was not yet fully revealed when God made Adam in the spirit world. That is why He called their name Adam. That is why I said, Father and Son, their name was Jesus. In the spiritual world, the name was called Jesus, but it was hid. It was hid. Eve's body is made from Adam's material body. So, you know that. You took a rib, made a body, separated, He separated the woman's female spirit, and He put it there. God took a particle or a portion of, from His body, made a body for His son, and put His soul there. Remember, the spirit of the son was not there, because all the son was, he was in a word, he was in a theophany body or a word body. Are you with me? So the same thing with the woman. When she was placed into a body, after in a spiritual world, she was placed in a body, she was made out of the material of Adam. But here's the thing. Why did the woman fall and not the man? Although they were made of the same material, she was made a weaker vessel. Come on. She was made a weaker vessel. Alright? Not like our Adam. Because if she was in the original creation like Adam, she would have not fallen. But she was made a byproduct. That is why sisters love to buy products. Yeah. You're only living up to your name. Buy products. You notice when woman gets stressed, a man can go into the shop, pick up a shirt, put the shirt on, buy it, go home, use it. Sister can pick up the same dress after 2 hours. She'll come home, look at it, herself in the mirror, and go back and change it. Buy product. So brother, if you're getting frustrated with your wife, no. She's only living after the name because Eve was a buy product. Okay. So Adam, listen to me, is actually the father of Eve. How could that be? Because out of Adam, Adam was the first whom, he was the first giver of life, he brought forth him. Because the Bible says, and God had to cut the side, open the side of Adam and take out the woman. So Adam was the first man with the whom. But that changed. After the fall, now women begin to bear children in sorrow, and that's why the patriarch order changed. But you see, Eve is a part of Adam, just like how Christ is a part of His Father. So who's the, if Adam is the father of Eve, who is the father of Jesus, the Son? The Father. So Adam, the woman, and Adam has the same nature and life as Adam. What do you think the son's going to have? The same nature and the life of Adam. Now, if the woman's body was made weaker, yet taken out of Adam, the body of the son, although made of the same material, is not the same body. I don't understand it. Because you see, only the Father would be omniscient. Only the Father would be omnipotent. Only the Father will be the Alpha and Omega. You see, the Bible says, and the woman is for the glory of man. So Eve is the glory of Adam. Just like how Jesus was the glory of God. Jesus was the glory of God. That is why you'd find that when you look at Eve, you can say Eve is the body of Adam. Eve is the revelation of Adam. Eve is the carrier of Adam's name. And what did Jesus say? I come in my Father's name. And you don't know me. How long have I been with you, Philip? Don't you know I'm the revelation of the Father? Because they want to see the Father. You see, brothers and sisters, what God was doing. God was being identified. God began to make him. He says, a bride for Christ. Bride must be identified with him. It's a part of him. The bride is part of him. The word for the day. The bride becomes part of that word. And so we must understand, brothers and sisters, when you're looking at how the Father made the body of the Son, it can be proven with Adam and Eve. It can be proven what was, we will know what the past will be. I would to God that God will undertake for you in a special way. There's a lot that we put on the service today that you'll go back to the recordings and God will undertake for you as we bow our heads in prayer. Father, we are grateful for this morning. Thank you for the believers on streaming and thank you for the believers, O God, in the tabernacle. Be gracious to bless us. Enlighten our pathways, enlighten our ways, O God, that in all things that we will please Thee, we will honor Thee and glorify Thee. We appreciate You. We thank You now. We ask this in the name of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and everybody said,